From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And of course, we our prayers, and we will share with you the Bishop's statement about the terrible fires ravaging California and right here in the Diocese of Sacramento, up in Butte County and Paradise, and on and on and on. And it's just it's mind-boggling how fast these fires move. When I first heard somebody said the whole town of Paradise is destroyed, we're talking about a city of 27,000 people. It's not a tiny place. Even a tiny place being destroyed is very devastating to anybody involved. And you think, oh, that's got to be a bit of an exaggeration. Indeed, it wasn't. It's just mind-boggling to think, very similar to what happened in Santa Rosa, although in terms of how they evaluate these things, the most destructive fire ever in California was in Paradise, and some smaller towns and rural areas around Paradise and Butte County. And the fire's not out, and we'll share it with you. Bishop Soto's statement, and it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine the terror those people felt and the horrors of what was happening, and something about living in a city you don't imagine an entire town burning in this day and age. And yet we've seen it in Redding, with serious fire also in our diocese earlier this summer, and here we are in mid-November, and you don't think of fires in mid-November. And of course the terrible fires last fall in Santa Rosa, which were very similar in terms of a big wind event, and those aren't unusual. Some people may think those are unusual. Those are not unusual in the Sacramento Valley at all, in the fall and in the spring. In the spring, they don't tend to cause forest fires or urban fires, because everything's much greener in the spring than it is, and it's generally a bit cooler. But this one, mid-November, it wasn't even during a heat wave. We don't have heat waves in November. And it's just, of course, we haven't had any rain, none at all. So it's just how much that would have changed an urban fire, nobody seems to know. So it's just pray for those people, pray for those who lost their loved ones. And you hear story after story of people helping people in these situations, and some of the stories just really tug at your heart. And so many people saying, well, yeah, we lost everything, but we didn't lose our lives, and we thank God for that. So very, very difficult time for all those people. And here we are in Sacramento, and I know people are listening up in that area and all around. Some of you are very, very close to it, and it seems like all of us know somebody who lives in that area who has been so dramatically affected. So obviously there will be calls for us to help in the best way we can, and always check with the various organizations, including Catholic Charities, who will be helping, because sometimes what we think somebody needs isn't what they need. They really need something else. And generally, most of the time, cash donations or cash, credit card, however you want to give it, but money is the best donation, because then those people who are on the ground, who see the need, can give out money, or can purchase whatever it is that's really needed. I mean, we can sit here and say, I think they need diapers, or I think they need canned corn, or I think they need this and free or bottled water, and frequently we're wrong. We're just wrong. So that's something that we will, in the days and weeks ahead, we will talk about as well. And our prayers, of course, go with all those people. Well, Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands, joins us. Jane,
good morning. It's great to be here.
Good to have you with us. And I mean, here we are, and it's even smoky here, 100 miles away from the fires.
And I live another 20 miles away from here, and it's quite smoky, and there's air warnings to not go out, and is talking about people helping. On Patrick from Jid's show this morning, a woman called in from Maine saying, if there's someone that has money in their bank account and they can, and that's all they've got, if they've lost everything, come to Maine, I'll put you up.
Well, in the readings, that's a beautiful that somebody would do that. And you know, the readings on last Sunday about the, you know, the widow who put in the two coins.
She put in all she had.
She put in all she had.
Right. You know, and that's huge. And talking about how we all can help. And I see the cash is it, because that buys everything.
Yeah.
Cash can give anything. If the person, the relief person, they just need to provide Band-Aids, or if they need to provide a hotel room, cash gives them full flexibility.
Exactly.
Or a donation.
Yeah, it's very well put. Full flexibility.
Right.
Yeah. As opposed to, well, gee, we got this box of crackers and we've got lots of food. You know,
Which is usually the case. And the great Catholic Relief Services are the ones that know who needs what and how to get it to them. And and then getting them physical goods means putting more people on the road.
Exactly.
You know, and
so you know, there are lots of websites and newspapers and everybody and TV stations, everybody else. You go to their websites and the Diocese of Sacramento as well. And they'll be very specific about where to send donations, what specifically is needed. Maybe there is some physical item that there's a real shortage of, that, but always check ahead of time and then give what you can.
Right. And then, look, you know, the work of God's heart and hands is how we all are God's heart and hands. And we hold the love, and we are his feet on the ground. We are his love in action and feet on the ground. And looking for how to bring good out of this. And like the Lord said, you give anything to me, I will bring good out of it.
Anything.
Yeah. Anything. Anything. This is right before Advent starts. And like you mentioned, we all know, excuse me, someone or someone that knows someone who has lost everything.
Yeah.
I just had to rearrange an appointment with a handyman to come into the house, and he just spilled over into his daughter's in-laws had lost their home of 35 years. It's just on everyone's mind. It reaches out to so many people. And so right before Advent, this is something you'd have to like step over this in order to participate fully in the consumerism that we have come to expect of the Christmas season.
Yeah, I remember last fall, happened to be with one of my kids in Target. She needed a pair of shoes and to go out for basketball, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, Target was a good low cost place to buy them. And and we're back by the dressing room, and I run into somebody that goes to our parish.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody I know very well, but one of those faces that we've both lived in town forever, and so at least you call them how you doing or something, you know. And how you doing? And, oh, fine. Oh, yeah. And then out comes her adult daughter from the dressing room, because it was right there. And she introduces me, and I said, oh, do you live in Davis? And she said, well, no, we were living in Santa Rosa.
Oh, my.
And we lost everything.
We're
now with Mom and Dad, and Mom just brought me out here to get some clothes.
I mean,
it was like,
my.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, and there you are with it, just face to face. I mean, they both of them had jobs in Santa Rosa, which were wiped out because where they worked burned to the ground.
Oh my gosh, we never talk about that kind of devastation long term.
You look at in Santa Rosa, we had somebody on the program at the time, and they said, you know, there's no place for these people to live.
Mm-hmm.
And even those who have jobs, and a lot of employers, they can't afford to keep. I mean, you know, we run a restaurant, and our restaurant's burned to the ground, but we can't keep paying you.
Right.
You're a waiter or a cook or whatever.
Right.
We can't keep paying you. We're not bringing any revenue in. You know?
Oh, my. That's a ripple effect that we don't talk about.
Yeah. And
or we can't afford to rebuild.
Major hotel burned down in Santa Rosa. And you think of all the people who work in a hotel. And then you have all the people that are coming in to help rebuild, the construction people.
Right.
And where do they live?
Exactly.
You're already had half your housing has been wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all around the surrounding towns, the rents escalate quickly.
Whoa. When you come to that point, I know that happens. The rents escalate quickly. I think there's a whole different piece of humanity that needs to be spoken to right then. And it's not supply and – there is supply and demand, but there's an asterisk on that, and that's the moral reason and the moral piece of them doing that. And that is a ripple effect we need to talk about.
Well, it sure is, because you go, okay, you were charging $1,200 a month for a one-bedroom apartment before the fire, and apparently that was working for you as the landlord.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And – is there really a reason why you now need to charge 15 or 18 or 2,000?
Right.
And because you'll see it. And some states have laws against gouging and mm-hmm. et cetera. And of course, one of the headlines we saw the other day was crime is now rampant in some of those areas because there's not enough people to guard whatever's left.
And I thought of another aspect of that, reading a little bit about the risk of looters, is that that's all we talk about. But looking on the other side of it, it's out of need also, is that there's less resources for the same amount of people. And so it does become a situation where if I can't buy it or be helped with it, unfortunately, I may be pushed to having to take it. You know, so that is an aspect to it that we need to consider. That's a symptom of we need to be helping more and more. And I think going into Advent, we have to look twice at what we do financially. It's almost like we're stepping over the people that are in desperate need without everything we're talking about and the ripple effect. This is not going to go away quickly. Those businesses, especially towns like Paradise, they didn't have an intel in there,
right?
You know, where you had corporate resources and insurance and other places you could put your employees or resources to say, hey, we'll put you up at a hotel over here so that you can keep coming to work and so on. The bulk of it, I would say, is that the ripple effect is going to keep going. So those of us on the outskirts of it, that we smell the smoke and we're affected, we're worried about our lungs and the air quality, and a lot of people are for very good reason, and our animals, young children, seniors, and all of that, we're getting a piece of it. Can we take that piece of it and have that be a window into those people that are without so much more than what? And so as we participate and celebrate Advent, can we let that shift our tradition? And I think it's kind of, we need to use the windshield wiper, so to speak, and get the dust out from in front of our eyes, which is Christmas started November 1st, Christmas shopping. We are now at a full 2 months out of 12 that we celebrate Christmas in the stores. Day after Halloween, it looked like December 10th. It's 1/6 of the year. That's like a day and a half every week that we're celebrating Christmas. So we kind of have to look at it like that. Okay, and at the same time, we have, what's that parable Jesus used about the stepping over the poor person outside the castle, so to speak, or the king, to every day stepping over. So we know someone we're stepping over in one way or another, or some situation. And now that we have social media, we can look at the pictures. This is not some far off thing. We can look at the pictures. We can see the town that wasn't there. And do we have, is this an opportunity, a teaching opportunity, you know, as a parent? We've talked about how those things come up, that we can't ignore this.
Right.
And this is also how we're modeling for our children. And so I think the effect, if we let God work with us or in us, that we can be God's heart and hands in a very different way than what we've done in the past, is that now this is kind of clarifying things for us, is that we need to it's not distant. It's down the road. I'm smelling the air. This is not something that's just on a picture for us.
Right.
So we have a moral responsibility, I would say.
Yeah, to me, a simple prayer, God, help me to help them.
Right, show me what to do, and that's it too.
Show me what to do. It's so easy to go, well, you know, we've got this expense and that expense, and we all do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we could write a check for a little bit, I guess, maybe.
Instead of,
you know, saying, okay, what can I do? Like this lady in Maine saying, hey, come live with me.
Yes.
That's a huge step. even if you got an extra bedroom, I mean, you're inviting a complete stranger into your home
for an
indefinite period of time.
Right, to get back on their feet.
And everybody likes their space.
Yes, we Americans do, don't we?
I like my space. Uh-huh. You know, the people I share it with, my family, I love dearly. And, you know, we've worked it all out. You know
right.
I mean, who's where, when, and yeah, once in a while we bump into each other.
Right.
Or we're waiting in line for the bathroom or something. But we know how to all, and all of a sudden, who's that on the couch?
Mm-hmm.
And when, how long are they going to be here?
Right.
And I made a nice dinner last night. They didn't eat it. You know?
Uh-huh. Right. All those things.
All those things that happen with people live together. But mm-hmm. so that to offer your home to somebody more than just overnight, that's a huge step.
Right. And also to remember that person gave her, like you said, the two coins, the woman in the temple, that was her two coins. Right. Where is it for us? It may not be for me right now. It's not monetarily. But I can sit. I call them up and I talk to them. I have time. I have opportunity based on my schedule. I have many small pieces during the day, so I make a phone call and mm-hmm. chat with them. Or if I see, I can have coffee with them. Mm-hmm. And that's another, our time, talent, and treasure. Right. I have a little bit of time, and my treasure is my is caring.
Right.
Is caring for them, and so we have to look at. We don't have to be guilting ourselves. That's not it at all. But we cannot ignore what's going on around us for our children. And looking at the Holy Family in Bethlehem, they were this. It's the same situation. They had left their home. Their home no longer existed to them. And they're knocking on a door. And here we are, the rest of us, those in Sacramento and other places, that we see it, where the people that were, when they knocked on a door looking for lodging, the people that opened the door could see the crowds. They knew the right. situation. So likewise, we can look out our window and we can see the smoke. That shows us what's going on, helps us connect to these people's situation that have nothing. Like the Holy Family did not have a place, did not have family in town they could stay with. And we're looking for the kindness of strangers to help out in whatever capacity.
You know, you're right. There were Sacramento State. They had a football game scheduled Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 10,000 people were going to come to the football game.
Uh-huh.
Canceled. Canceled because of the air quality.
Oh, my.
I mean, literally just canceled. We don't want, obviously, people out exerting in that.
Right.
But we didn't want 10,000 people out in the open air either. And it just, you know, and minor. I mean, it's not a big deal that the game got. I mean, it rarely happens. I mean, you have a team had already traveled here from Arizona.
It was a big deal.
And all the revenue that mm-hmm. that's lost from ticket sales and hot dog sales and all these budgeted things that happen, and it's just canceled, you know, and absolutely minor compared mm-hmm. to what's going on, but something where nobody involved in that game could say, I didn't know anything about what was going on.
True, very
paradise.
True.
You know, and just like you're saying, you walk outside and you smell the air.
Right.
You know, the people have signs on the door. We're closed because of air quality, like swimming pools and
right.
Uh-huh. athletic clubs and. I'm sure that the schools are keeping kids indoors, and
mm-hmm.
there's you look at the sunrise this morning, and it was just red,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's no way that we don't know it, and we're not even talking about the fire in Southern California,
no,
which is huge and
right.
hasn't been as devastating in terms of loss of life mm-hmm. or loss of homes, but still very devastating. And
mm-hmm.
And you know, human beings being what they are, we'll argue about the causes and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, right now there are a lot of people suffering.
Right.
And our joy really should be helping them. It's not just our obligation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something we should do grudgingly. It should be our joy.
And didn't Jesus talk a lot about that? It's by giving that we receive.
Yeah.
It's by love, you know, faith, hope, and love, and the the first of these or the strongest of these is love. Yeah. And one of the things that Patrick Madrid said, which I feel compelled that needs to be passed on, is call the diocese and ask, are we doing anything as a diocese to bring people in and house them? Are there any parishes that are opening up their social halls as a putting up cots, getting people out of that air, which is much, looking at the pictures, it's you can't see across the street, much more devastating. Are we doing, what are we doing? What can we do? And that was a really great thing because he's very much about bringing Jesus into the everyday. How do we be Jesus in the moment?
Right.
And that was a great idea for us to do that. And what can we do? And I'm going to ask our pastor, Father Sylvester, is there something we can do like that? Can we open our parish hall?
I know the diocese is really all over this one, and we will share Bishop Soto's statement as well. The bishop is currently at the semi-annual meetings of the, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in Baltimore. So we pray for him.
Very much so.
We will share his statement with you shortly. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome back. We are with Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. Jane, we have in front of us the statement by Bishop Soto about the fire. It is called the Camp Fire, not the Paradise Fire or the Butte County Fire. It's the Camp Fire, two words. They, for some reason, we've always named fires. In response to the, these are the words of Bishop Soto, in response to the Camp Fire burning in Butte County, Bishop Jaime Soto has released the following statement and words of consolation, quote, "The tremendous loss from the campfire ravaging parts of the diocese is devastating. The families in Paradise and the surrounding communities affected by the fire can rely on the support of our prayers. We also pray for the brave men and women responding to this disaster and battling the fires. May all those who have died in this catastrophic inferno be granted eternal repose in the merciful hands of the Lord Jesus." Those are the words of Bishop Soto. The fire has already claimed 29 lives, now up to into the 40s. Has destroyed 6,700 homes and businesses. St. Thomas More Parish up there in Paradise, it actually did survive the fire, and hopefully they're able to hold Mass up there and provide some consolation and a gathering place, really, for people. Because so often you know, somebody's house burns down. In the old days, supposedly, you know, somebody's house burned down, and the community rallies around and helps each other, and they have like a barn raising. And but it's everybody's house burned down.
Right. Nobody has anything to give.
Yeah. It's the intercessory prayers for those who have lost homes, businesses, or loved ones in the recent wildfires at camp and throughout California, that they may find consolation in trusting that God will provide for all they need. We pray for the eternal rest of those who have died as a result of these fires, and pray that those who are missing or are still in harm's way will be found and protected. For our first responders, firefighters, and brave men and women battling fires and helping people to safety, that they may be kept safe as they work to restore calm and assist those affected by the wildfires. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for all those devastated by this natural disaster and make fruitful our efforts to assist them. Parishioners wishing to donate money to assist those in need can send checks to the Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund. So make sure that you send your check to the Fire Assistance Fund, and then all of that will go to assisting these people in need. And you can, the diocese is located, just send it, put an envelope and send it, 2110 Broadway here in Sacramento. The zip is 95818. And again, be sure you make it out to Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund. You can also donate by phone. Just call the Catholic Foundation, also here at the diocese. Give them a call. The Catholic Foundation is at 916-733-0266. That's 916-733-0266. Great people there in the Catholic Foundation. They will answer the phone, and they will guide you through it and be most appreciative of your donation. You can also donate online at the diocesan website, SCD, which is Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/donate. And then you choose the Fire Assistance Fund for the Campfire and St. Thomas More Parish. scd.org/donate, and then choose Fire Assistance Fund. Or send a check to the Sacramento, to the Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund, 2110 Broadway, Sacramento, 95818. Call the Catholic Foundation, 916-733-0266, or donate online, scd.org/donate, and choose Fire Assistance Funds. That's the easiest way to do it, is pick up the phone, call the Catholic Foundation, 916-733-0266, and you can be assured that every single penny of that is going to go directly to relief. And, you know, it's within the diocese. Many people from the diocese know that area well and know the needs well, and will be able to put it to the exact use that the good Lord wants.
And that gives us some peace, I think, helps us to feel good, not feel good, but not feel helpless. So many times the rest, we just feel helpless that we can't help the people. We see it. And this is like, I can help. I can do something. I can pray and I can do something. And I was really caught what you said in the letter. You mentioned God will provide. That's us. God will provide through us.
Right.
And I think that's what we're called to do. Like in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. They are asking, they're seeking, they are knocking, and we are providing.
Right.
The Lord is providing through us, and it's what we're called to do. We're to stand up and do this. And so to bring this into our Advent season with that awareness of how God is calling us to do this. It's another piece, and I think it's going to be really a fabulous Advent season. Because this will actually help the rest of us not get caught up in the spin of the glitter and the red and the sugar and the Santa. And it will keep us focused on what the celebration really is, and that is an outward sign of it. And remembering, everything we buy as a gift will eventually end up in the thrift shop. May take a few years, may go through a few kids.
But that will help St. Vincent de Paul.
Oh, so that's different.
If it's in the St. Vincent de Paul thrift shop.
It does, very much, very much so. But with that, when you kind of like take the glitter off of that, take what we've put on it, this magic to it somehow, and put what and look at what's real, that the joy we feel, that is fun. That is totally fun. It has its place. And the myth is there for a reason. The myth of Santa is to help us understand the unconditional love that God has for us, no matter what.
Don't tell my kids Santa is a myth.
No, that's true. And if you don't believe, then nothing happens. It's kind of like
we have four teenagers who, and we have one who's, see, I have to keep remembering they're 16.
Yes.
Because their ages keep changing on me.
You know? And yours stays the same.
Mine stays the same.
39 forever.
They're catching me.
They are.
Do we have one who's 16? Do we have to caution the other ones? Don't mess with Santa.
You know, when the last one turns 21, that's when they're going to let you in on the fact that they all know.
They knew since they were six.
And they're just keeping it that way because it's good, because it's really good.
We don't believe in the Easter Bunny either, Dad.
No, but this makes Mom and Dad feel good, so don't tell them. So you be the one that they think still believes, and that'll keep Mom and Dad happy. Because, you know, it's all about us making Mom and Dad happy, and that's what we want to do.
And we'll get less stuff if we don't believe in Santa Claus.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do need parents.
It's hard when your kids are smarter than you are.
Yes, if they would only start paying the bills, then it would just be balanced, you know? Anyway, but this, I think I can see a gift in this, is this will help us get off the circus wheel, especially since the circus wheel showed up November 1st. And I actually heard it on K-Love, and I'm saying it because I'm shocked that it was K-Love and it needs to be spoken to. November 1st, the DJ said, okay, now you can get out the Christmas decorations. It's time to start celebrating Christmas. Wow, did we forget about Thanksgiving? And Christmas decorations, you said nothing about the Lord in there. Yeah. Wow, even they're getting swayed. And it's a constant thing. We need to be aware. It's a very subtle thing, but we need to be aware. So this, with knowing children, we have children, there's children there. We have college students, there's college students there. We have elderly in our family, there's elderly there. It's a direct connection for us to bring a different gift to the infant, mm-hmm. to the sacred birth. It's being what did the three wise men do? They brought the best that they had, the gifts of their time and the love and the effort. That's what we can do. And we go from fun to joy, to real joy. And it ripples out. It's going to ripple out forever in how we do it with our children.
I know what Mother Teresa would say. She'd say, treat every one of those people in paradise as if they are Jesus Christ himself.
Wow.
What would you bring to Jesus?
Right.
How would you help Jesus?
Right. Right. And the scripture, it was so potent, Matthew 25:40, which we've all heard. Lord, when did we see you?
Right.
You know, when were you in distress, when you were hungry? And when I was reading it, it popped out in a different way, which so often when we go back and we read scripture, our circumstances, different meaning will come out. And what, instead of the longer version, it was, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, ill, and you did not care. The Lord's response, when I was hungry and you didn't.
And in prison.
Yes. And so.
Which is a kind of an odd one, you would think, to put in there. You know,
yes.
It's like, well, they're in prison because they did something bad. Forget about them. Throw away the key. You know, no.
Right.
And there's nowhere in there where Jesus says, because they're wrongfully imprisoned.
No.
Or they're innocent, or they didn't do it, or he just says visit them.
Right. Make the effort.
Yeah. I mean, they're sinners like the rest of us. Their sin just happened to be against the law.
Right. And there's a couple of programs. We're seeing some interesting things going on in the prisons, I'm noticing, in this country. When they put in the canine companions in certain prisons, they will let the inmates take care and start mm-hmm. to train. They actually have a higher success rate with those dogs that are trained by prisoners than with citizens. Outside, whatever you want to say, people, other families, because they devote complete attention. In certain prisons, they brought in kittens, and the violence rate drops because they know if they commit an act while in prison, if they break the rules, then no one is there to take care of their cat. They had one incident where a gopher showed up in the yard everything calmed out in the yard because here was an animal and they could dote on it. Isn't that interesting? When they had something to love,
yeah,
they completely changed, the people that were involved in it. And so isn't that what Jesus said? The greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
Wow, those two just connect so strongly that when they're given something to love that they haven't had before, they change.
Yeah, that's a very, very moving story. It really is. We have a dog that we got recently in about the last 6 months that we had got. First time we had a dog, it was from what do they call them, rescue.
Yeah, rescue dogs. Yeah, ours
and
are too.
It was from as a golden retriever.
Uh huh.
And you know, just sweet, sweet dog, but very old and finally died. And
I'm sorry.
And, but well, it's you know, it's the way it goes. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of know that he's already old as when we got him, but just a sweetheart. And then. So then the rescue place, who kind of knows our family situation and stuff, says, we've got this one dog that we think would be great with your kids and because it has an interesting history. It had been a service dog. It had been trained as a service dog, another golden retriever, been trained as a service dog and was a service dog for 3 or 4 years. And then I'm not sure the situation, but wasn't needed to be a service dog anymore. Maybe the person didn't need him, or maybe.
Right. A lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And anyway, then had just been with this single person for a year or two and she was moving or something. And so took the dog to the rescue. And this dog is it's constantly coming around like, don't you need me to help you? Don't you need me to help you? She's just like, you know, she's following around. Like, and when the kids go off to school, she gets this long face. Like,
because they love work.
I'm supposed
they love
to work. I'm supposed to. Can't you put their book bags over my chest and over my back? And
yeah. Actually, you could. You
know,
you could.
It's
yeah.
like you can just see that this dog wants to help somebody.
Uh-huh.
She's following you around, not looking for a treat.
Right.
She's like, and it's like every now and then she's really attached to one of our daughters.
Uh-huh.
Really, it's like when she comes home, man, it's all over. And so every now and then she'll just flop on the floor. And whoom. I swear that dog will pick up the phone and call 911. You know, it's just like she's been that trained. And that's now almost part of her DNA. She wants to help. And I'm thinking, wow, a dog.
Yes.
You know, what about us?
What about us, meaning being trained to help?
Trained to help.
And this is another beautiful thing that can come out of this is we as parents have the opportunity right now to train our children, regardless of the age, even if they're out of the house, to call them up and say, okay, I didn't train you in as much service as I should have, but it's time for us to do something. What can you do? What works for you? And we're going to do something for these people. And then if they're young and in the house, this is what we do. We train them for service to where they have that natural inclination to respond.
The natural inclination, yeah. In my experience, the best training is modeling.
Oh, very much.
You know,
very much. What do they say? More is caught than taught.
Yeah.
They see it more than,
And it's not just us modeling for our kids, but me seeing people, they're modeling for me.
Yes.
Whether it was my parents or people even currently.
Right.
You know, you go, wow. I mean, I run into these people from the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and I say, wow, they're really doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
And I'm not singling them out. There's lots of people.
No, you see it because they're doing it constantly. It's just not in a season. It's not in a phase.
Yeah.
It's week in, week out, year in, year out.
They're doing what they can, period. You know,
right.
And no questions asked. Just go do it. You
right,
know?
And, yes.
And that's that sort of modeling is, and it's why, I mean, little old Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, you know, Nobel Peace Prize. Not that anybody's striving for the Nobel Peace Prize, but it shows you that the world recognizes that a selfless person that gave her whole life working with the poor and the really poor, they're really destitute, one at a time. You know, most of the people that she worked with didn't suddenly get well and healthy and rich and go off to college and be
successful.
And what
did she have to offer them?
Yeah.
Just her heart and
her heart.
A compassionate hand to hold their hand.
Exactly.
That's all she had.
And you think it couldn't have been pleasant work, but apparently it was for her. You know, and that kind of modeling is, I mean, everybody in the world knows who Mother Teresa is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then,
and sometimes if somebody, you're demanding too much of somebody, somebody says, "Who do you think I am, Mother Teresa?" You know, I mean, but she's just part of the vocabulary. She's part of
the
world in a way that she's not a rock star. She is a rock star, but she didn't have the best.
And she didn't look for notoriety.
No.
She just did what was in front of her.
Yeah.
She just started with the one, right? And for every person that came and visited, you know, the famous people or so on, that would then use that as a platform to, every time there was it was the same situation. She said, "Go back to your city. Do not shift your whole life to come here and do it. Go back to your city and do the same thing. Talk to your neighbor, find out in your community and so on." And one of her most famous quotes is, "But we can do small things with great love," right? Well, the first part of that I thought was really striking is she says, not all of us can do great things. And that's so important. Not all of us can do great things that are out there, that are at this level. But we can do small things with great love.
Yeah.
And so what is that small thing, even if it's a couple of dollars or if it's a phone call or if it's just, like you said, modeling for your children? And something else that's been diluted with parenthood that needs to be brought back is that we – without even knowing it, we're modeling for so many other children that my kids now that they're in college talk about the other adults and how what they were also watching them and how much they picked up. And we need to have that renewed to remember that as we're modeling for our children, we're also modeling for their teammates, for their classmates, whoever comes through that door. And we're also modeling as they take our stories, what they see in us, out to other people. Right. So as parents, it really does ripple out forever and for generations, because how we model is providing part of their emotional fabric, their tapestry that they're going to carry with them. Like the dog, that your dog was modeled to be loving, constantly attentive. And what can we learn from that? And the dog doesn't sound like it's happy unless it is loving on somebody by taking care of them, right? And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying about the fun of Christmas versus the joy of Christmas. And the joy is helping, is providing, is lightening their burden in whatever way we can, is putting it. And that's one of the beautiful things about social media. We can find out instantly. All the resources you gave, people can, if they didn't get it from when you were talking about Bishop Soto's letter and the address and the phone number, they can get on social media and find out right away how to get a hold of the diocese and what they can do and where it's most needed.
Right. And you know, and right now we're talking about, you know, the campfire up in Paradise and that area in Butte County. But there, even if that hadn't happened, there's no shortage of need.
Very
people
true.
In need throughout the world. I mean, there's no shortage. There are people in need in our backyard. And you know, it's easy to sometimes think it's just physical need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their house burned down, or they're behind on their rent, or whatever it is. They lost their job. Those things, obviously, somebody died, are things that are always happening. But another thing that we can give that sometimes is what people need is our time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just a heck of a lot easier to write a check, or it's almost it's an easy way out. You know, like,
it is,
I'll
yes,
write a check, you know.
Right.
What somebody really needs is half an hour of your time to maybe somebody who's interested in the profession you're interested in and is struggling in school, and just needs a mentor to talk to them.
Right.
And you go, I'll get back to you. You know.
Right.
I'm busy.
And look at and look people in the face. And you can see it. You can see it in their faces. If we can pull our face away from the phones, we see it in their faces. That youth or the person standing next to you in the grocery store, you sense it. God blessed us, wired us to have that sense, to be able to read micro expressions that we're now calling them, to know when just to, a little chit chat or to allow ourselves, just pray, Lord, use me today, use me. And I'm surprised at how many different places and ways that a conversation will happen, or I'll compliment a checker on a scarf she's wearing or something, and two or three sentences come spilling out that are just, wow, oh my gosh, she just unburdens, or he does, really quickly. And then they say, thanks, just thanks for listening. You can't make it any better, but you listened.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And it's putting ourselves, praying, Lord, use me today. And I think when anybody does that, the Lord is right there. Like, He's looking for people. Look up from your phone. Look up. I'm going to show you somebody that that needs your help. And one of the scriptures that really stood out for me is 1 Corinthians 13:17. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And is that a different slant on it? Are we not called to bear and hope and endure another's challenges? Mm-hmm. To not see through them, but to see them through in whatever capacity that looks like. And whatever it is for them, to endure with them. We can't make it all go away, but we can endure with them somehow. And I think when we just pray and doing it with our children, let's just be aware and make ourselves available to the Lord today. To who at school looks lonely? Who at school looks sad? Who at school needs to be invited to play or to join in the group? Who's eating lunch by themselves? What can you do? Let the Lord use you. And I think when we show up, that's when we start to really shift. We shift from helplessness to helping.
When there's that's where a lot of modeling really comes in. It's so easy, you know, you've got the in-group and the out-group and the loners and all these different things going on. And it's not necessarily even about bullying and that kind of stuff, which is pretty overt, but just subtle. Well, I eat lunch with my friends, you know, because we like each other. And I don't know who that kid is sitting over there on the steps by themselves, but it's not my problem kind of thing.
Right.
And if one of that group goes over and says, why don't you eat lunch with us?
Right.
The rest of the group is watching that.
Oh, very, very true. They're, good point.
You're now modeling for the, and it's not, even the people you eat lunch with aren't necessarily the in-group. I eat lunch with people I like, you know, the few times that you get to go out to lunch, and you generally are going out to have lunch with somebody you like.
Right.
And, you know, and it's not because we're in people or we're elite people or anything. It's just because we like each other.
Right.
So the
have
three
a common
or four
interest.
Or five of us.
Right.
Yeah. And did it ever occur to us, well, why don't we ask old Bill there, who just moved into the neighborhood or something.
Right.
You know, why don't you, we're all going out for lunch. Why don't you come join us?
Yes. And I just heard on Relevant Radio, I forget which host was talking about it. When we have donuts, coffee and donuts after Mass, we all talk to who we know.
Yeah.
Rather than the one or two. There's still a lot of people that are lonely. They're just waiting for someone to come up and talk to them.
Yeah.
And we're called to do the same thing. And like you said, that everyone in paradise and the surrounding areas, that's Jesus. And is that not Jesus standing there with a cup of coffee all by themselves, wishing for someone? And we're modeling for our children, but it's the same thing, is to reach out. And the joy we get when we meet somebody else, you know, giving the love away, giving is receiving, and so on. And so with all of this that's going on in society and seeing ourselves, when we see ourselves as God's heart and hands, we take on the part of the purpose that the Lord intended for us. He put us here. He wants us to do it. We are where we're supposed to be with who we are, and He needs to work through us. And I think if we just model for our children opening up for what the Lord may have for us to do and how He can use us, that I think that's one of the best things we can model for our children.
And Jane, it's not true that I sit in the rear pew at Mass so that I can be first to the donuts.
It's not?
It's not true.
Okay,
It's an ugly rumor.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it? Well, carrying out the box of donuts, you know, having your kids have one on each finger walking out, you might want to deal with that too. I'm not sure.
I remember when my oldest kids were very little, and little Ted was about 4 years old, 5 years old, and Erin, my daughter, was two, and we would go to Mass at some Sundays at the Newman Center.
Mm-hmm.
I was just out of college, and you know, and the Newman Center was at the church, which had been my church growing up.
Uh-huh.
That had been the parish church, and back before they had Newman Centers, at least on this campus, and so I was very fond of that church, and I remember they ran off, it was kind of a yard there, and they ran off to get a donut. And I'm talking to one of my friends from college out in front of the church, and here comes my son running back. he's got a donut in each hand.
Oh no!
And my friend looked at me and said, "It's genetic."
Oh wow! And
because he knew, I just thought
it was a rumor when I said a donut on each finger. Come to find out, there is no, and you can't blame him. I think, and we never have enough donuts at church because it is a social thing. We need to do more of that. To reaching out a few years ago at Christmas, on Christmas Day, I had what did I call it? Cookies with baby Jesus or something. And in the social hall, I just put out checkers games with cookies and coffee and juice. And it was for everyone that didn't have a place to go. And they announced it before Mass. It was amazing the amount of people that came. People that had just moved here. A young family that had been in a hotel for 2 weeks waiting for their home. They had just moved here for a job transfer. Knew no one. So I quieted the entire room. And I said, they just moved here and they know nothing. You meet everybody else.
And play checkers.
Right, and play checkers. And it was the simplest thing to do.
Good thing I wasn't there, because you know how, as a parent, you're always hoping for your kids to one day exceed you. You know, to one day beat you on the tennis court, or to one day beat you in one-on-one basketball. Because that means they're developing, you know.
Yeah, you taught them well, and they're moving on.
And this is great. They've finally grown up enough. And checkers? I never want to lose.
Oh.
Even to my own kids.
Maybe you should just bring Legos when you do it.
I don't want them to outsmart me.
Just bring Legos. Everybody build Legos together. But it's that community and coming together. It was surprising to me how many people were alone on Christmas and just appreciated coming together, that coming together. And that's
you know, and
it.
And everybody's situation is different, and Christmas, Thanksgiving, all those things, you know, people are out of town and stuff. But if you are just having kind of a family dinner, maybe a few people coming over, if there's that single woman living down the street or single man living on the next block that you're kind of not sure if they're just going to be home alone eating a TV dinner, go knock on their door and say, hey, we're having Thanksgiving dinner at 5 o'clock. We'd love to have you join us. Maybe they got something going on, but it's no harm, no foul.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
It's the few times we've done it, we haven't done it often enough, it's been really cool.
Has it?
Yeah, it's really, and it's, again, great role modeling for your kids.
Yes, very much so. They sponge up. They watch us every moment, and that's lovely that you did that. You give me some good ideas.
Jane, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2000. 2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, Marriage and Family Therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. Deserved life. have I been given through Christ crucified? You've called me out of death, called me into life.